I thought I had my message together last Tuesday, and I realized real quick that I wasn't on the same page as God. He changed my mind, and I'm pretty confident I am now. One thing I want to key in today on is obedience and the grace of God. And that last song, it kind of confirmed that. If grace is like an ocean, we're all sinking. This morning, I'm thankful for God's grace. You know, 6 years ago, most of you know, Sarah and Zace were in the hospital. And, you know, not only was Zace's life in danger, but Sarah's life was in danger. And, you know, we've seen a lot of kids in the NICU. I might be saying that wrong. But, you know, there's a lot of kids that didn't make it that were, you know what, some of them were either even further along than Sarah. But, you know, God's been good to my family. He's been gracious to us, and I'm thankful for that today. We're going to be looking at Jonah today, if you want to turn there. Jonah chapter 1. I'm going to look at chapter 1 and verse 3. And some of you might be saying, man, we talking about Jonah and the whale today? We are. But you know what? It inspired me this week. There's some applications I want to make, and I just want to be real with you this morning and practical. Title of my message this morning is You Can Run, But You Can't Hide. You can run, but you can't hide. You know, Ephesians 6, chapter 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know, I don't think anybody has to teach a kid how to sin. We're born into sin. You know, Zace, I would say, is my strong-willed child. Him and Landon are a lot different. And you know what, Zace, he fought early on. He's a tough little kid. But you know what, me and him butt heads a little more. Sometimes I can spank his tail. And you know what, I can turn my head, go in the kitchen, come back to the living room, and he's doing just what he got a spanking for. I mean, don't take him no time. I think it's a little bit mixture of the Lloyd and the Walker in him. But you know what, this is something, as young people, I know my teenagers, they struggle with. As obeying your parents. I did. If I could go back, I'd do a lot of things differently. Some decisions I made. And, you know, we don't think about it at the time, but decisions we make early on in our life, they impact us down the road in the future. But, you know, something we play a lot of times when we have teen night is manhunt. Teenagers love manhunt. I'll be honest, sometimes I like to do something a little different, but they like it, so we do it. And, you know, ain't nobody here. We're over there in the Family Life Center. And, you know what, me and Brother Edward and Barry will count. We come find 27 teenagers in the dark. Y'all laugh at us. We tripping over everything and all that good stuff. But, you know, who come to mind when I was thinking about this and preparing for this was Grace and Kana. Them two now, you have to tell them you're going home because they won't come out. One night they were on the trailer we used when we go go different places, go to youth camp, that kind of thing. And they were inside that trailer. And I finally told them, I said, y'all got to get out of here. Y'all scare me. And they finally come out of the trailer. But, you know, Zace and Landon, we still play hide-and-seek at the house. Zace is finally starting to figure it out. But, you know, I could walk in the kitchen with Zace. And Landon, he's at the age now where he's going to be quiet. But Zace, I can say, you know, I might not confine him sometimes. I really can't. I turned him in the, put him in the dryer one time. And didn't know when you shut that door, that thing started spinning. I thought Sarah was going to kill me. But, But, you know, Zace, a lot of times, I say, all right, Daddy can't find you. I sure hope you don't start laughing. And what's Zace do? He starts laughing. He gives himself up. Talking about obedience, I'm going to give you the Webster's Dictionary. What they said obedience was, an act or instance of obeying, the quality or state of being obedient. Children should learn obedience and respect for authority. All right, Jonah here. We're going to dig into the scripture here in a minute. But you know what? Jonah's running from God. God's calling him to go to Nineveh, who were wicked people. And Jonah went the opposite direction. He got on a ship. He's going the other direction. There was a time in my life that I ran from God. I got saved early on. And, you know, it was real. But, you know, I remember, and even in high school, I wasn't one that I had a pretty good crowd of friends I hung around. But when I got to college, I didn't pick the best crowd to hang around. And you know what? I was willfully living in sin, even though I knew it was wrong. I was willfully living in sin, making decisions that, you know what, they did impact me. They still impact me, the decision with Landon. And, you know, I've told you many times before that won't ever get easier. It's came full circle. We all get along real good, and that's great. But it never gets any easier anytime I take him back home. But I was running from God myself. I've always had a heart for young people. Early on I did, you know, from community coaching. I was a health and PE major. Y'all see that didn't work out too well. But you know what? God has used me. And, you know, looking back now, it's amazing how things come to fruition. You know, like I said, I was running from God. I'm thankful that, you know what, I met Sarah. And, you know, she was a blessing to me. I got my butt back in church, rededicated my life. And you know what? I felt a calling on my life. Started helping Brother Edward a little bit with a teenager. I wanted to get plugged in. You know, before I knew it, it was scary, and it still is scary sometimes. I'm standing here. If you'd asked me 10 years ago if I'd be standing before you, I'd have told you crazy. But God's used me, and I want to be used. You know, sometimes I think we're all guilty of running from God, all of us at times in our life. Even Christians, we can run from God's calling on our life. You know, the new Bluetooth thing, I don't like it a whole lot. I know Dakota said he's passed me several times. He's going to get me one day, probably. I'm glad he likes me. But, you know, I'm bad about not wearing my seatbelt, and I'll be on the phone, it's Bluetooth, and it's steady beeping. Beep, beep. I don't even recognize it because I don't ever put my seatbelt on. I'll be honest with you, that's not good. Y'all don't follow my example, teenagers. But, you know what, I don't even hear it sometimes. I'll be on the phone, and they'll say, put your seatbelt on. But, you know, sometimes when you're running from God, he never stops pursuing us. I believe he's always pursuing us. He loves us that much. Just like Brother John said, he'll come back for you. I mean, he loves you. I don't care what you've done. He loves you. But you know what? Sometimes that knocking, we don't hear it anymore. We tune it out, just like that seatbelt. I really don't. I don't hear it. It don't even faze me because I've heard it so long, I almost don't hear it no more. But I'm telling you, God's working on you, and don't tune him out. That's a dangerous place in your life. All right, let's jump into Scripture. Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep in the hold. So the captain went down after him. How can you sleep at a time like this? He shouted. Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives. Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused this terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as a culprit. Why has this awful storm came down on us? They demanded. Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What's your nationality? Jonah answered, I'm a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them he was running away from the Lord. Oh, why did you go? They groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, what should we do to you to stop this storm? Throw me into the sea, Jonah said, and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault. Instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to the land. But the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. Then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. O Lord, they pleaded, don't make us die for this man's sin, and don't hold us responsible for his death, O Lord. You have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons. Then the sailors picked Jonah up and threw him into the raging sea, I lost my place, I'm sorry. And the storm stopped at once. The sailors were all struck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. I'm going to jump over here to chapter 3. we're going to read this and we're going to talk about this, try to make some observations about this. Jonah goes to Nineveh, chapter 3 in Jonah here. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time, "Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you." This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. Don't you remember that phrase right there? 40 days from now, and Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put a burlap to show their sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne and took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in burlap and set on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent his decree throughout the city. No one, not even the animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. When God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction that he had threatened. All right, you look at Nineveh here. Nineveh was full of immorality. They worshiped a lot of false gods. They had a lot of idols. They were cruel. One thing that stood out to me when you talk about Nineveh, they were very prideful. They were even rebellious. I think that's something I think men probably struggle with sometimes more than women. I battle it sometimes. I think, for honest, we probably all do, is pride. Sometimes we can let ourselves get in the way. That was my prayer for today. I don't want to get in the way of what God has to say. But you know what? Just reading this and studying this, pondering on it, who does Nineveh remind me of today? I believe it reminds me of us today. The world we live in today. We might not worship statues. We might not worship these things. But you know what? We still have idols. Oftentimes possessions, money, sometimes our jobs, stuff. And hey, we all like stuff. I like stuff. I enjoy stuff. I love going out and enjoying the boat with my family, the teenagers. But you know what? God needs to be first and foremost in our lives. 1 Peter 5:5, "Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Something that comes to mind here. As Free Will Baptists, we practice feet washing. That scares some people. But you know what? Something I'm always amazed at is the humility Jesus showed. Jesus washed Peter's feet. If he washed Peter's feet, sometimes... there's times I felt God calling me to do this, go pray with this person, reach out to this person, encourage that person. You know what? My pride gets in the way sometimes. I'm just being honest with you. And, I look at what Jesus did. Jesus set the example. We got to set the example if we want others to follow. If we want to win anybody for Jesus, we got to set the example. If we don't humble ourselves before God and surrender our lives to Him, there will come a day when we will be cast in the lake of fire. And that's eternal torment. And you say, man, that's harsh. I'm just telling you the truth. Like I hit on a while ago, what serves as idols today? I told you a few. You know what? Sometimes our spouses, kids, jobs, stuff, all this stuff's temporal. At the end of the day, it don't matter if I got a dollar in my bank account or $10 million when God calls me home. What matters is where I'm going to spend eternity. And I tell you what matters to me is where my kids spend eternity. Zace got saved pretty recently. And I've had several people. He's 6 years old. He don't know what he's doing. I believe he does. He's a pretty knowledgeable kid. Salvation ain't complicated. We make it complicated sometimes. I'm looking forward to the day Landon gives his heart to Christ. But that's important to me. Let us strive to be content with our stuff, but not grow content in our relationship with Christ. I think there's a lot of people in today's society who call themselves Christians, but you don't see a whole lot of evidence in their life. There's a lot of people that, you know what, they think it's good enough getting saved. You know what, I'm in, I'm going to heaven. That's not what it's all about. It's about growing and reaching others for Christ. I'm going to give you a quote here. C.S. Lewis, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less. You cannot hide from God. He's going to get your attention. He got Jonah's attention right here, didn't he? That's incredible to me what happened there. That's cool to me. That's the sovereignty of God to me. My God's able to do anything. That's amazing. I'm telling you, I just can't wrap my mind around that. And you know what? What I jotted down here, can you hear me now? Think he got Jonah's attention? I believe he did. He's got my attention before. He's knocked my feet out from under me before. And you know, there's lost people that I pray for. Do whatever you got to do to get their attention. Whatever you got to do to save them, get their attention. Because I don't want them to die and go to hell. I don't. I want to tell you this real quick this morning. Don't mistake His grace, compassion, and long-suffering as reasons to keep running. He is a gracious God. He's full of grace, long-suffering. But I think sometimes we think, you know what? He's always going to be patient with us. We got forever. We got tomorrow. We got next month. We got next year. You know what? I'm going to give my life to Christ one day. But you don't know. We never know. I'm going to share this with you this morning. I told you I'm going to be real with you. I got an uncle who's lived a tough life. There ain't another way to put it. He spent time in prison. You know, he broken relationships, addictions, has ran his whole life. And, you know, even after getting out of prison, he's right back in that same rut. You know, sometimes I don't understand, and I have young people tell me oftentimes, you know what, my mama does this, my daddy does this, it's what I grew up in. Well, you got to break the cycle. You got to do something different. I was fired up yesterday when I seen John's post on Facebook. I was already looking forward to preaching. But man, look what God's done in John's life. He's one of the most real people I've ever been around. And He's using him for His glory now. That's awesome. I want to ask you today, have you been running from God? And I want to tell you, run towards Him. He's here with open arms. He's waiting on you. He's been pursuing you the whole time. He loves you. He desires that relationship. And He is full of grace. He gave Jonah a second chance. You know, I look at Jonah in the well, and to me, that's a picture of salvation from death to life. That's what we, when God calls us, that's what we move from death to life. As Christians, we really never die. Our spirit goes to heaven, and one day our body's going to meet our spirit. That's awesome. I'm thankful that the grave is not the end of it for me and for you as Christians. God forgave and saves the Ninevites here. One thing I wanted to talk about here, Nineveh, they were evil. We live in an evil society today. We live in an evil world today. And you know what? I think sometimes as Christians, I've had this mindset. I'm just being honest with you. Sometimes people wrong us. They've done something to offend us. And you know what? We want them to get what they deserve, don't we? We want to see them fail. But I'm here to tell you today, as Christians, I don't care what anybody's done to you. I don't care what they've done to you, how they've wronged you. I don't care what they've said about you. Our desire should be to see all people saved. Black, white, Hispanic, it don't matter. I don't care what they've done. God's grace is sufficient. Jonah hardened his heart against God. We may deliberately choose our own way, but we can't escape the consequences of our actions. You know, one day, if we choose, it's simple. There ain't no middle ground. You either accept Christ or you reject Christ. There's no middle ground. You accept Him or you deny Him. And you know what? If we accept Him, we're going to spend eternity in glory. If you deny Him, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. As Christians, we should want and desire to see all people saved. You know, like I said, the people in Nineveh, that really stuck out to me. They were evil. And Jonah's ambition, Jonah wanted them to get what they deserved. He did. That was what he wanted. God to punish them. He wanted Nineveh to suffer the wrath of God. And you know what? God changed His mind. What do people in Nineveh do? They turned away from their sin and they turned to Jesus. That's what we got to do. The sovereignty of God. I'm going to read you this real quick because it was good stuff too, man. I'm trying to hurry. I told you I was going to get you out here early and I'm taking all day, ain't I? Psalms 139, verses 7 through 10. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. Sovereignty of God, you know, I looking when Jonah's inside the belly of a whale, it's a picture to me of salvation, like I just told you. As Christians, we do. We pass from death to life. People can change, you know. I want to tell you that this morning. I think sometimes we can be hypocritical. I think sometimes we think, oh, man, he ain't never going to change. He's been in that same rut. He's been on them drugs. He's been living in sin his whole life. But I'm here to tell you, God's grace is sufficient. People can change. If God gets a hold of you, he can change you. The filthiest sinner, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you got going on in your life. He's able. He's capable. He's capable. Obedience is important to God. I don't believe you can ever fully surrender until you walk in obedience. I believe that wholeheartedly. Until you fully surrender, until you start walking in obedience, you're never going to fully surrender to God. I believe some of you sitting in the pews here today, God's calling you to, you know what, hey, let's get plugged in. Help with this, help with that. You know, we got some people in this church that will jump on board and do anything. I've always been amazed. I mean, simple things, Family Life Center, getting back there doing dishes. You know, I ain't never heard Brother Keith telling you had to ask anybody to do the dishes because y'all just rally and do it. Y'all were all about serving others. That's awesome. I want to ask you this real quick. I'm not going to read this to you for time's sake. How did Jonah get back into fellowship with God? Prayer. If you look at chapter 2 of Jonah, all he's doing is crying out to God. He's crying out to God. And it made me think of my prayer life. A lot of times my prayer life is pretty selfish. A lot of times I'm asking, hey, God, can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? Hey, God, I put a bid on this job. It'd be great if I get that job. Instead of saying, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. Thank you for your grace, your compassion. Thank you for your goodness. God, forgive me for this. Forgive me for that. That's what Jonah did here. He's crying out to God. And I'm here today to tell you that I think we need to do more of that. Praise God for who he is and what he's done in our lives. When Jonah prays in chapter 2, he doesn't concentrate on the negative, but the positive, the fact that he's still alive and didn't drown. He praises God. And like I said, oftentimes our prayer lives, maybe not yours, but mine's self-centered sometimes. I'm just being honest with you. I pray for others. Sometimes I do a poor job. We pray with our kids every night, me and Sarah, most every night. We pray together. But I'll tell you, an area I failed in is praying with Sarah. I used to pray with her. When we first got married, we prayed together. And me and Sarah went through a rough patch pretty recently. Nothing bad. Everybody does. But you know what? I wasn't being the husband that I needed to be. Sometimes I was neglecting her needs. Sometimes I was pretty good at praying for other people and praying with other people, but I was neglecting her needs. And you know what? We prayed together that night. And I'll tell you, ever since then, prayer's powerful. I've seen a difference. I promise you. And that ain't something I'm going to quit doing. I'm going to keep doing it. God's forgiven. If he can forgive the people of Nineveh, he can forgive you. His word is powerful. Just a few things here, and I'm going to wrap this up. Some other men of the Bible who I've seen obedient. David and you look at David and Goliath. David slays Goliath. You know, when I think of David and Goliath and think of the task that God gave David, who come to mind was Kenzel Bennett or Ken Lee and me. I mean, if you know, God calls me, there's some big men, and I'm a pretty little guy. But David knew he had God on the side. If God's got your back, I don't care what the task at hand is, he will get you through it, I promise. You know, I pointed out earlier, talking about our kids being obedient, walking in obedience. Jesus was obedient to the Father. He was obedient to God. He set the example. You look at Job. Oftentimes, I think as Christians, it's real easy to forget about God, to put God on the back burner when things are going good. We forget about him. Life's, you know, it's just hunky-dory. Everything's going good. No issues. But boy, I tell you what, as soon as a doctor says, you know what, you got cancer, you got a tumor, as soon as your marriage is falling apart, as soon as your kids are rebelling, you know what, we turn to God. We need to turn to God always. You know, you look at Paul. Saul to Paul. Look what he did to Christians, and then look how God used him to minister to others. That's amazing to me. I want to ask you today, are you tired of running? Are you obedient to Christ in the good times and the bad times? And I'm going to challenge you here today, parents. You want your kids to be obedient? I think sometimes as parents, we need to show them that we're being obedient to Christ. We got to practice what we preach, all of us. I'm talking to myself. There's a lot of things I could work on as a daddy, as a husband. But you know, if we don't have our kids in church, if we're not plugged in church, and you know what, it ain't just about coming to church. If we're not living it out at the house, if they're seeing us say dirt, say talk ugly, and do these other things, church ain't never gonna be nothing to them. It never will be. It ain't gonna be real to them. Obedience is key to spiritual growth. You know, I look back, and I'm telling you, I've been way more blessed than I deserve. I look at God's faithfulness to me. You know, I ain't going to spend a lot of time here, but I got laid off first time at the railroad, pretty devastated. Second time I got laid off at the railroad, I knew it really didn't even faze me. And I'm not telling you that because I'm perfect. I'm far from it. But what I'm telling you is I knew God had already been making a way. He'd already been preparing a way for me. You know, I started doing yards over three and a half years ago on the side. And I'm telling you, I knew I didn't want to spend all my life at the railroad. I realized that, but it was kind of a building block to get to where I needed to go. It helped me. The railroad was a blessing in my life. But God was already preparing the way for me. And now you know what? I'm getting to do ministry, and I'm getting to do yards. And that's a blessing to me. I'm able to spend time with my family. I'm able to fellowship with these teenagers. God's good. Romans 10, verses 9. And 10, if you profess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For it's with the heart that you believe and are justified, you're made right, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. It's simple. It ain't hard, and I challenge you today, if you've never made a decision for Christ, don't leave today without doing it. I don't know what you're going through. We all go through valleys in our life. We all go through hard times. If you ain't in one now, like Brother Keith said last week, you're going to experience one. It's coming. When we did M Now for the teenagers, the theme that weekend is serving others. Buster Tire, we went to his house. Most of you know Buster. He's a great man of God, good family. Teenagers, we cleaned off his roof, cleaned out his gutters. He brought my attention to a man, Keith Green. He's a, look him up sometime, Keith Green. And he's passed years ago, but he was a contemporary Christian musician. And he has some songs that are powerful, man. But, you know, one thing he said in one of his songs, he had young kids, and he said, if my kids can escape this evil world, and I was going to put it up there, and I didn't get it to him. I'm sorry, but look him up sometime, Keith Green. But what he said, I don't want my kids to experience the heartaches and the pain of this world. And you know what? His family was killed in a plane crash. And you might say, big deal. But I tell you what, the more I see how sin-sick in this world is, the more I long for Jesus. I want him to come back. I don't want my kids to have to experience these heartaches and these pains. Deuteronomy 11:1. You must love the Lord your God and always obey His requirements, decrees, regulations, and commands. Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. God takes care of His people. I believe that. If you're obedient to Christ and faithful to Christ, He's going to honor that. I promise. The road to hell is wide and broad. I'm going to tell you that scripture. The Bible tells us that. Path to heaven is small and narrow, and the Bible says only few is going to find it. And I'm here to tell you today, God's called us to be more. God's called us to do more than just say, you know what, I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven. He called us to be disciples, all of us, not just me. He called you to be disciples. Tell other people about Jesus. Get on fire for Jesus. When I read John's post last night, I was fired up. That's awesome. And that's what we got to do. We all got stories. We all got our own stories. We all got testimonies. Use them for God's glory. Use that time, that dark time in your life, and you gave your life to Jesus, tell others there's somebody going through the same thing that you went through. And you know what? That might be the reason you went through it, because now you can help somebody else through that situation. And you know, one thing I was just going to throw this in there, that don't necessarily go hand in hand, but one thing that I have been amazed at this church is, you know, even being obedient with your tithes and offerings. That's one thing. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I first started coming to church here, I did a poor, poor job of tithing. But I can tell you this, and Sarah would testify for me. When we started giving like we were supposed to, you don't even miss that money. And Brother Edwards said something that's always stuck to me. I don't give because I've been. I don't give to be blessed. I give because I've been blessed. God is good. And this church has been faithful in them areas. I'm done. If you're here today, I'm not going to play the role of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what you're going through. Only God does. You ain't going to make Him aware of nothing He don't already know. But I'm here to tell you today, I don't care if you're bound up in some kind of sin, if you know, whether it be addiction, you might be having marriage issues. I'm going to tell you, this church is doing good. And I'll just be honest with you. I've seen the devil at work in this church. We got to guard ourselves. Because you better believe when you're living for Christ, the devil is on the attack. He's a liar. I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know what you're going through. But I'll tell you this morning, bring it to the altar. I'd be happy to pray with you. Brother John, we got plenty of people here that'll pray for you, pray with you. And you know what? I don't care what the doctor says. You might be going through a physical illness right now, and he says there's no hope. I'm here to tell you today that God's able. Look at Brandon Henderson. If they'd have left it to doctors, you know what? He wouldn't be here today. God's good, and He's able. He can do anything He wants to do whenever He wants to do it. My dad's been with us. You know what? He faced some health issues pretty recently. And you know what? He's doing much better, and I believe it's the power of prayer. I do. So I want to challenge you today. Be obedient to Christ. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word today, God. Thank you for sending your son to die for all of us, God. I pray that I'd never, Lord God, forget what you've done for me, God. I'd pray I'd always be mindful of the price that was paid for me, God. Thank you for your word today, God. I pray that you would help us to all be more obedient, God. God, I pray if there's one here today who does not have a relationship with you, God, I pray that, God, you just convict them, Lord God. I pray that, God, they wouldn't be able to leave here until they ran to this altar, God. And, God, maybe there's somebody going through a tough time. Maybe somebody needs prayer, God. They need encourage, God. I pray you'd encourage them today, God. I pray we wouldn't just be hearers of your word, God. We'd be doers of your word, God. I pray that you continue to bless this church, God. You've been good to us, God. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for blessing my family, God. And I just pray, God, that you, Lord God, whatever it is, God, that you want to do here today, God, I pray that your will be done. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.